near corner. Richmire, wide open three from the left side. Hayes takes another one. Kyle Richmire with his second three of the game, and it's 25-11. Hill City up 14 with 5:40 remaining in the first half.
High school basketball from last night. Well, tough night for the St. John's Tipton Blue Jay girls and boys as they both fall at Hill City. And Dusty will tell you a little bit more about that right now.
Yeah, they both struggled out of the gates and really never could get back into it, girls and boys. So, a rough night. Lauren Dubert was held in check by the Hill City defense in the girls' game. She was held to just 8 points, averaging over 20 a game this year. And Hill City gets the girls' win 39-27. And then the boys' game, St. John's Tipton just couldn't get their defense going. And Hill City exploited a couple things on their defense. And they also couldn't take advantage of the size advantage that they had on the inside. And Hill City made them pay in the end, 61-42, the final in that one. Brandon Bates, 14, and Brady Paul, 11, to lead the way there as far as scoring was concerned for St. John's Tipton there last night. So, yeah, a rough night for the Blue Jays, but Hill City gets the sweep. That was actually the first win for the Hill City boys over St. John's Tipton in the history of that series. It was just the sixth meeting, but Hill City finally breaks free and gets a win over St. John's Tipton there last night on the boys' side. So, also last night, another other girls' scores in the area, Southern Cloud in a makeup game winning over Wilson, 57-35, and Smith Center, a tough loss to Superior, Nebraska last night, 51-26. And then the boys' games last night, Southern Cloud over Wilson, 50-42, and Smith Center winning 58-57 over Superior, Nebraska. So that's a look at what happened as far as last night's high school scores were concerned. And then we'll move on to a lot of high school basketball here coming up this evening as well. So stay tuned here on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake. This evening, Southeast is Selena Bullitt on Katy Country 94 and also online video at ncksports.com on the Bullitt Trojan channel. Girls pregame coverage beginning around 5:50 and tip-off at 6 o'clock for that one. Boys will follow here this evening. Bullitt hosting again an NCAA league play against Southeast. And then on Z96.3 The Lake and katycountry94.com tonight, St. John's Tipton will have them right back in action as they take on Lakeside and Downs. Girls pregame about 5:50, tip-off at 6. The boys game follows here tonight on Z96.3. The other games in the area, Osborne at Pike Valley, Rock Hills is at Natoma, Lincoln's hosting Southern Cloud tonight, Sylvan Lucas at home against Chase, Thunder Ridge a non-league game at Franklin, Nebraska, Smith Center's hosting Logan, and also it's Concordia home against Riley County tonight. Those are the games featuring our area teams here this evening.
Did you mention your locker room chats?
Locker room chats come up at 5:15 tonight. We'll get those going on Katy Country 94 High School Wrestling Locker Room Chats. We'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, and Smith Center. And if you ever miss those, again, they're posted on our podcast at katycountry94.com.
Also, the Kansas Wrestling Coach Association rankings are posted there, as well as the KBCA and much more, plus the latest sub-state standings. And more available at ncksports.com. As Dusty mentioned, the Blue Jays back in action tonight at Lakeside. Lance Bergman, head coach of the Blue Jay boys, this team trying to bounce back from a loss last night, will take on Lakeside, a team that's tough, especially when they play at home.
They're going to be even tougher. They're on their floor. They're a good shooting team, and now you're going to put them on their floor, so they're going to be a better shooting team. They're confident on their floor. They do a lot of things well. They pass the ball well, and they got guys hitting shots right now. They're going to make it tough. We're going to have to attack inside. If we don't go inside, we're going to play right into their hands and allow them to dictate the way they want the game to go. They're going to play a lot better, and if we play like this, we're going to drop another one. So we've got to refocus, try to get as healthy as possible, and then just come out and be ready to go and find a way to try to get a win.
Yeah, wins are important at this time of the year with regionals and sub-state on the horizon. Coach Drew Dusky of Lakeside knows that.
We need to win. I mean, it would be huge for us to be able to win out the rest of our games, but we got to win a lot of games because our regional seeding is dependent on picking up some wins here lately. And if you look at past the one seed, it's going to be a muddy mess by the time things get figured out, and every win is going to count so big. And so we just need to continue to play gritty and hard and hunker down.
St. John's Tipton Lakeside tonight. Once again, that's on Z96.3 Lake and katycountry94.com. A big league doubleheader tonight, both on the girls and boys' sides over in Beloit this evening, which you can hear on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. The girls' game is big because the Beloit girls are tied atop the league standings with Sacred Heart at 7-1. They've won 6 in a row, and they'll take on Southeast Saline, a team that they trailed 38-31 down at Southeast, had problems with turnovers. Southeast likes to press, but Beloit was able to out-rebound Southeast Saline 51-23 in that game. Shea Larson had 13 points, 13 rebounds in that contest. Portia Cooper had 16 points and 17 rebounds. And Beloit took advantage of that size, and they'll need to do that again tonight against the Southeast team that just beat Chapman, who's ranked 10th in 4A. They beat Chapman by 12. Beloit lost at Chapman by 15 earlier this year, if you want to put any weight into that. So it'll be a good tussle for Beloit tonight against Southeast Saline, according to head coach Sean Arimas.
We need to win.
Wrong one. Let's try this.
They're a team that's going to come in here. They got a lot of experience now, and they like to get up and press you. And so I think we're getting better at that. I guess that'll be a good test for us to see where we stand with ball pressure and things. But I think we're a much improved team, and we're just riding high on this, and we'll just go in there and, you know, attack the post play. They don't have a lot of post play, so we're definitely going to want to use our bigs in that game and rebound as much as we can. So it should be a good contest.
Southeast playing some good basketball. They're 10-5. They're battling for positioning at sub-state. Beloit right now would be the 2 seed on the girls' side in their sub-state, which they'll host. So it should be a good one, the girls' game tonight. Beloit barely beat Southeast early this year by 4. The boys' game is very intriguing, and more so since Sacred Heart tripped up on Friday, losing to Minneapolis. Now, Sacred Heart, according to reports, their star point guard, Tate Herrenbrook, is out for the season. And reports are a torn ACL, so that changes what they do. And Sacred Heart only scored 35 points in a loss to Minneapolis on Friday. So with the loss, Sacred Heart has one loss in league play. Beloit has 2, and Beloit plays Sacred Heart on Tuesday. It's pretty simple. It sounds simple. Beloit boys win out, they will at least have a share of the league championship, which didn't seem very likely a few weeks ago. But tonight they have a test against Southeast, who I think is going to be possibly the class of this league for the next 3 or 4 years because of the talent that they've got coming up. It is scary good. So this might be the last chance to win the league title for a few years, maybe for Beloit and some other teams in the North Central Activity Association. Last time they met, Beloit had this game under control. They're up 10 with just under 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And then Southeast hit a bucket on a rebound and put back to tie it, sent in overtime. And then Beloit lost in overtime 69-66. It's a game that Beloit should have won, but they've, I think, learned from that since then. But Beloit, like I said, if they win out, they will be league champions, at least a share of it. And Southeast Saline's still battling atop the league standings. And they it's an important game for them, too, because they are a 5 seed right now. They have a record of 11-4, and they're a 5 seed in the Halsted 3A substate. So they would love to move up to a 4 seed and get a first-round game at home. So this is a big game for both teams, especially Beloit in the league race and for Southeast overall for substate. And it was a great game the first time around, and Coach Eilert realizes how big this one is tonight.
It's a big game for if we want to stay in any sort of league race, and sub-state right now is real competitive. So, you know, we talked about it after the game, you know, big one coming in here for all the standings, pride, and everything else.
So it is a big one. And by the way, Southeast is 5-2, so if Southeast would win out, they would have a chance to get a share of the league title as well. Although, if I remember correctly, I believe Southeast has played Sacred Heart twice when it comes to boys' hoops. So they would need a little bit. Well, if they went out and Beloit would beat Sacred Heart, then you would have Southeast have a chance to get a share of the league title. So there's a lot to play for, no doubt, tonight in Southeast and Sacred Heart. They have played twice, and Sacred Heart beat them both times. And those are the only league losses for Southeast so far this year. So that should be a great doubleheader tonight on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. Our live video stream at NCKSports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. Beloit coming in 12-3 on the boys' side, 6-2 in league play. Southeast 11-4, 5-2 in league play. There is a Big 12 basketball game tonight in Manhattan if you care to know about it. K-State, 9th in the Big 12 out of 10 teams. Oklahoma State is the cellar dweller. They're 1-9 in conference play. K-State 2-8. You can watch it tonight on ESPNU at 8 o'clock. Bruce Weber, weird things yesterday. Did you see the audio about how he literally kissed players? What?
Yeah.
What? I think Bruce is losing his mind, which with this team, I could maybe understand it. Bruce Weber on Oklahoma State, a team that's improving.
They're getting a little better solid play from everybody, getting a little team chemistry. So, you know, it'll be a tough game. They got some veteran guys, and, you know, they're like a lot of teams. If they make shots, you know, they're pretty good, and those guards, they want to get it up there. And if they're making them, it makes it tough because now they get you all spread out with their offense, and it makes it tough to defend.
K-State hosting Oklahoma State tonight. Number one, Baylor won last night at Texas. Wasn't pretty, 52-45. Texas Tech beat TCU 88-42. 88-42. So think about that. Texas scored 45 and lost. Baylor scored 52 and won. TCU scored 42 and lost. The Big 12 offensively is not very good.
No.
And, you know, you can talk about KU being really good defensively, and I get it. They're good defensively. But I don't think KU is great defensively. I think it's a combination of they're good defensively, and I think the Big 12 offenses are not very good at all. I mean, just look. I mean, we know K-State's offense is very good. Oklahoma State's not very good. TCU's offense isn't very good. They've scored under 50 now two or three straight games. Texas' offense isn't good. Baylor's at times struggles. Texas Tech's offense at times has scored some points. West Virginia's had games where they can't score. Kansas had games where they can't score. Kansas at number 14. West Virginia, KU ranked third. That's tomorrow night on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Or you can listen to it on Z96.3 Lake tomorrow night with pregame at 5:30. And then Iowa State's at Oklahoma tomorrow night. All right, so I got this deal from Clover. I don't know what some people are trying to do. If they're trying to scare me as a Chiefs fan to worry about the future. Oh, Mahomes, you know, I've seen this. Well, you might lose Chris Jones, and you might lose Sammy Watkins, and you might lose Kendall Fuller. Yeah, so we still got Mahomes. We still have Kelsey. We still have Hill. We still have talent. And we're going to have a draft, and we can make some free agent acquisitions. And I understand the money situation. And so there's a deal that Clover sent me showing some kind of graphic, which, you know, if you really checked it out, it might not even be true. Quarterbacks with the highest salary cap hit haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. Okay, that's 10 years. You know what else that didn't happen before? The Chiefs hadn't been to a Super Bowl in 50. Mahomes changed that. Chiefs hadn't won a Super Bowl in 50 years. Mahomes changed that. Patrick Mahomes, no NFL quarterback, won MVP in his first year as a starter and Super Bowl MVP in his second year as a starter. No one's done that. Here's another one. No team in NFL history had scored 31 or more points during regulation in five consecutive playoff games. Mahomes has done that in his first five playoff games. He's already beat it. Do you know that Patrick Mahomes has the second most comebacks in playoff history of double digits or further behind? He's played 2 years.
Yeah.
He's second behind Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I saw some idiot, and I'm going to say idiot, because this person posted on Twitter from New England, and he's must be tired of the Mahomes stuff, which I get. I get it. If you're not a Chiefs fan, not a Mahomes fan, you're probably tired of it. That's fine. Because I got tired of the Brady stuff. I get it. And they pulled stuff off of Wikipedia showing all Brady's numbers comparing to Mahomes. Here's an idea. Here's a thought. Maybe you should compare Brady's first 2 years in the league compared to Mahomes' first two. Because Mahomes has only played two years in this league.
Yeah.
You really can't compare a guy that's played 2 years to a guy that's played 20. I know Mahomes threw for 5,000 yards. You know, he can't really throw for 15,000 per year and catch him in a few years. It's ridiculous, some of the dumb stuff that's put out there on social media. You know, you want to really compare, well, they were like the first 3 years. Well, Mahomes played one game his first year. How about Brady? You want to compare? Brady didn't play his first few years.
Yeah.
So let's go back and let's judge the stats of backup Tom Brady versus backup Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this is so silly. You know, the bottom line is this. New England fans are scared Mahomes is going to be better than Brady. That's what they're scared of.
Oh, yeah.
They're scared that the Chiefs are going to win a whole bunch of Super Bowls and maybe challenge their dynasty, which I think is going to be really hard to do because the Patriots have won 6 Super Bowls with Tom Brady, been to 9. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs are going to be able to do that. I really don't. It'd be great if they did, for me, as a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. But the Chiefs could just get a couple more. Or if they just, you know, Mahomes got 2 or 3 in his time, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Mark it down. He'll be a Hall of Famer. He wins a couple, 2, 3 Super Bowls. He might even be a Hall of Famer with just the one and never win it again with the numbers he'll probably put up if he plays for another 10 or 12 years. So when people give me these numbers and these graphics trying to scare me as a Chiefs fan or worry about the future financially with Patrick Mahomes, all I'm going to ask you is this. Are the Packers competitive? I need an answer.
Yes.
Thank you, because like, the audience can't talk to me, son.
Yes.
Dusty. Are the Eagles competitive?
Yes.
Are the Seahawks competitive?
Yes.
Why would I bring those up, Dusty?
Because those are the high-paid quarterbacks.
How about the Rams?
Yeah.
They're competitive?
Yes, they're competitive.
Rams were just outside the playoffs. Eagles made the playoffs. Wentz got hurt first game. Who knows what would happen after that. Rodgers and the Packers went all the way to the NFC title game. These are some of the highest-paid quarterbacks that take a lot of cap money, and yet those teams are still really good. So what, we're supposed to just freak out? Mahomes supposed to take $20 million instead of $40 million so the Chiefs can win? No, you don't have to do that at all. I mean, Mahomes takes a little bit of a price cut, then helps the team, great. But if I'm Mahomes, I already got a Super Bowl. I've brought a Super Bowl to Kansas City. I've done what I'm supposed to do in 2 years. And I got all the future in front of me. I'm going to get my money. I am the best player in the league. I should be paid as the best player in the league.
Yes.
And if that's what Mahomes wants to do, I have nothing against Mahomes if he does it. If that hamstrings the Chiefs a little bit, yes, fine. He deserves it. In the scheme of football, he deserves it. He shouldn't be paid less than Jared Goff. That's a joke. I mean, he shouldn't be paid less than Dak Prescott. Honestly, he shouldn't be paid less than Aaron Rodgers. The bottom line is he should be paid more than anybody because in 2 years of quarterback, he has won the MVP during the regular season. He's 4-1 in the playoffs, and he has a Super Bowl championship trophy and a Super Bowl MVP, and that's just in 2 years of starter. So if he wants the $40, $45 million, pay the man. You pay the man. And if the Chiefs never win a Super Bowl again, so be it. You keep this guy, and the Chiefs will. Trust me. They'll give him what they need to do to give it to him. The wild card would be if Mahomes says, listen, I want to win, and if it helps to take 30 to 35 instead of 40 or 45, I'll do that on this contract, but the next one, be ready to pay the piper.
Yeah.
But I, you know, Tom Brady took less money. That's what he chose to do. But there's also a lot of rumors that that Brady has money in the Cayman Islands. Kraft's done this and that, and there's some kind of hidden ownership stake in the team for Brady, or promises of 10% ownership when he retires to where he's going to make billions of dollars. And maybe that's something you do at Mahomes. Like, hey, dude, you win another Super Bowl, we'll give you 5% stake in the Chiefs organization. You're part owner. I mean, whatever it takes. Of course, you'd have to wait till he's actually out of the league to do that because that's against NFL rules. But listen, Mahomes has everything that's been thrown at Mahomes, he's knocked out of the park. He's a turnover machine. He's proven that not to be true. He has 76 touchdown passes and 17 interceptions in his first 2 years as a starter with the Chiefs. Okay? This year in the playoffs, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. In college, he had 76 touchdowns and only 18 interceptions, but nobody wanted to pay attention to that. Think about that for a second. In college at Texas Tech with a really bad defense and a bad team, 76 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. First 2 years as a starter in the NFL, he has 76 touchdown passes and 17 interceptions. Actually, I think it's 18 because he had one against Denver that first game. That's the exact same numbers. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried. I don't even care about history anymore when it comes to the Chiefs and their history. It doesn't matter anymore. And I don't care if there's some stat that says that you just don't win a playoff game when you have the highest paid player in the league. Here's an idea. You don't win playoff games down 24-0 in the first quarter at home. You don't win Super Bowl down 10 with 7 minutes to go facing 3rd and 15. It doesn't matter to the man. That's how good Mahomes is. Mahomes will make everybody better around him. He already has. Does he have weapons? Sure he has weapons. Yes, he has weapons. But I'm going to tell you something. Alex Smith had Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill his last year. He didn't put up this type of stuff.
No.
He had a good year. Mahomes makes people better. So if you have to be a little bit, you know, you can't afford a high-priced guy here. You got to let Chris Jones go. You got to let Kendall Fuller go, which I hope they don't. I'd love to see Fuller back. Chris Jones, you got to let him go. You got to trade him. Down the line, if you got to let Travis Kelce go because he's getting up there in age and you don't want to give him a long-term deal, hey, you know what? As long as you got 15, you'll be all right. Think about all the wide receivers that have Aaron Rodgers has gone through in Green Bay. And he's never had a great running game until this year. And think about the great players that, you know, that have changed hands all the time for Tom Brady. Running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. I mean, Brady, for crying out loud, didn't have a horrible year this year. He didn't have any weapons except Julian Edelman. And they went 12-4.
Yeah.
Now, I know they had a weak division, but they had a good defense. But the point is, you can still win just because your guy has the highest paid salary in football. I mean, come on. In fact, I'll tell you what it's harder to do is baseball. You spend $250 million on a guy, those guys don't have success. Not very often. Whereas football, sure, they can go into the playoffs and win playoff games. Okay, so he's the second highest paid player in the league, and he wins a whole bunch of playoff games. It's just an anomaly. 10 years, highest paid guys won a playoff game. The graphic that was sent to me, all 10 of those guys, let me pull this up. Let's see. Some of them missed the playoffs. Some made the playoffs. In fact, a lot of them actually missed the playoffs, which is kind of interesting. Do you really think that the Chiefs give Patrick Mahomes $40 million today, they're going to miss the playoffs next year? Do you really honestly think that?
I definitely don't.
I don't think there's many people in the world that think that. So those stats are nice and it's fun, and then people have a lot of free time. I'm talking about the people that put together the graphic and the stat to try to show. And I'm like, you know what? You can keep putting up these stats. 24-0, one. Down 10, AFC title game, one. Down 10, Super Bowl, 7 minutes ago, one. Down 14-0 against New England at home in AFC title game. Should have won. Had any kind of defense. I mean, it's, come on. This guy is one of a kind. And everybody in the league knows it. And everybody else, all the fans out there, Bronco fans, Raider fans, Charger fans, Steeler fans, Packer fans, Cowboy fans, you know who you are, Dolphin fans, you all are scared you know what. You are scared bleep. Because you know that the best player in football is only 24, and he's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's not going anywhere. And so what you're hoping for is that the Chiefs do fall apart because he costs too much money. I'm going to just tell you, that's not going to happen. The only way they fall apart is Mahomes has a career-ending injury.
Yeah.
That's when things might fall apart. Then you got money tied up in a guy that's hurt. Well, that can happen to anybody you sign.
Yeah.
So it's just like everybody wants. It's like Mahomes takes the bar one way and takes it further and keeps defying. I don't know about the odds, but defying what is the norm anymore. Okay. And people just still want to create something else out there that he just can't possibly do. And I think it just spurs the guy on even more. I think a lot of people are already saying you ain't going to win the Super Bowl back-to-back years. I think Mahomes already, there was video the other day, he's already working out, ready to go for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chiefs have a great chance of repeating next year as long as they stay healthy. I really do, because of only one person, and that's number 15.
Yeah, you always have a chance.
Absolutely.
Of doing a lot of things.
He's never lost a game by more than 7 points. That means you have a chance to win every single game.
Yeah.
There's no stinkers. His biggest stinker was the Super Bowl, which, by the way, wasn't that, he didn't play that horribly, but because Mahomes so good, it seemed like he played horribly.
Yeah.
And then he picked it up when he really needed it.
Yeah, the two interceptions in the second half and, you know, those things that were not normal Mahomes,
no.
You know, for about 3.5 quarters.
Which one of them was he anticipated Hill to be a different spot.
Yeah.
You know, and another, and that one, you know, was not a good one, but it happens. Everybody's human. They make a mistake.
Yeah.
It's just as if people just want to keep, they got nothing to hang on to, so they got to come up with stuff that's, like, so far-fetched. It's like, that's fine. Bring it. Bring it. Well, these teams have more Super Bowls than the Chiefs. I don't care. We have the one that's the most current.
Yeah.
First comeback. We're the Cowboys. We have more Super Bowls than you.
Yeah.
I don't care. We have the most recent one. That's the only one I care about.
Just the way.
Did your team make the playoffs? Oh, nope.
It is, you know. Yeah. If it's not your team, you got to figure out a way to bring them down.
You got to tear down the other team and let them have their fun, you know.
Yeah,
don't let them enjoy it.
What happens? There's some teams that don't have anything.
Right.
It could be the Lions.
Or the Browns.
And be like, I can't come back with anything right now.
I got nothing. When's baseball start? Oh, God, I got the Tigers. I got nothing.